His blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Amen. Well, we make much around here of the blood that was shed at Calvary. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. This morning, I've got a whole lot I had planned on saying. Don't know how much I will say, though. That I had wanted to work on a message of replacements. I wanted to talk about being replaced. We all come to that point in life that there's some replacements have to take place. But this morning, if you take your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and who remembers what Brother Rogers preached on Philippians 4, didn't he? And so you ought to know where that's at. And that takes you a week to forget where you had your Bible. Philippians 4, you was there last week, so just turn back to where you was at last week. See, and we'll try to bring a message there. Now, Brother Rogers preached on verse 11, be content. And I'm going to preach on don't worry. So if you that are maybe able to stand would like to stand for the reading of God's word, I'll begin reading at verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntychus, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows, excuse me, help those women, more women need help, which labor with me in the gospel with Clement and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now, you ought to underline that word, book of life. And you ought to ask yourself, is my name in the book of life on that? And boy, if it's not, today would be a good day to get it in there, wouldn't it? You say, well, how do I get it in there, preacher? Well, just accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and God will write your name in the book of life. You say, well, what happens if my name's not in the book of life? Uh-oh. Well, you get into the books that are going to be opened down into the great white throne judgment, and then you're going to be judged out of the things and how you lived your life, and no help there, boy. So you don't want your name just in the books. You want them in the book of life, all right? And verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. How many are rejoicing this morning? If you're rejoicing this morning, lift your hand. If you're not, don't line up before the Lord. He sees all the hands and everybody sees your heart now. He said, let your moderation, your temperance, or your way of life be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, we believe the coming of the Lord, don't we? We believe that the Lord could come today, do we not? We believe in the nearness of the coming of God, and boy, he's going to take out his children, and boy, that'd be a great day. That'd be a feast that day. And then he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, you read the next verse. Now, that's what every one of you want this morning. You want the peace of God that calls us all under, passes all understanding. And hopefully this morning, you say, preacher, I don't know that I have that. Well, there are some things probably that most of us in here don't. Most of them, to be quite honest with you, don't have the peace that passes all the understanding. We desire peace, and you got peace, but that sanctified peace, that peace that goes beyond just the natural peace that we find just in what the circumstances here in life gives us. But anyway, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this hour of the day that we can stand here, look upon your word, and to be able, Lord, to find help from it. We know that your word, Lord, is true. We know that it has the answers to all of our problems. We all, Lord, are problem people, and we need your help. And I pray, Lord, as you look upon the hearts of each one of us, that you would, Lord, just minister in a way that only you can do it. And I do pray, our Father, here this morning, that one that the Lord may be nearest to hell, that you would get a hold of their attention in a very special way. And Lord, give them faith to believe that you're God, you're the Son of God, that you're able to save to the uttermost those that come to you. And we'll thank you for that. And then, Lord, we pray for those that are having issues with sickness. Oh, surely we hold Linda and we hold Benny up before you, Kitty and Sandy, praying, our Father, for these dear saints, asking you to minister healing to them. Pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would just breathe upon them, and Lord, help them to be able to have healing, and knowing that you're the healer, you're the great physician. Well, thank you for all you accomplished here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Is anybody on a timetable this morning? You got to watch the clock. You got to be out of here a certain time. Who? Because I don't want to. Mike's going to be preaching tonight, and he can do what? Till he says turn to quit?
No.
Till he says it's his turn. I won't preach. I just want to deal with a subject here this morning that most of us, Brother Rogers preached on being content and being able to. Had someone, I don't know, two or three times this week, someone talked about the boy worrying. Do you worry? Huh? Probably every one of us in here do. I don't know. We're not supposed to. But the human nature is that, of the sort it is, that we do worry. Hopefully to be able to give you some things this morning that's not going to take away all your worry. Maybe will help you into how to handle worry and to keep from worry. You got the doctor tells you that you have a serious problem that looks like maybe not going to be around long. It's going to be hard not to worry. Maybe not so much about yourself, but for others. But I'm not really concerned about myself, but I'm concerned. I worry about what's going to happen to those that I leave behind. There is some things that you get old. You worry about getting old. Some of you hit in at the middle age now, and you begin to look in the mirror, and you begin to see, hey, some things are changing. I see a wrinkle I didn't see here the other day. I see some gray hair here I didn't see the other day. Age must be creeping up on me. You get to worrying about some things. You get to worrying about your children. You get to worry about your grandchildren. You get to worry about your church. Our church. I don't know what's going to happen to our church. I hope the virus don't come in and take everybody out. That's the mindset some people have, that we're all going to die of the virus. Could I say to you, we're not going to. We're going to be taken out, not going under. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect. Boy, if anybody had something to worry about, would you say Paul had something to worry about? My goodness, you follow his life and you see what all that he encountered and he wrote in Romans 8, he said, but if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It's a lack of strength. We know that we have daily needs. in Matthew 6. Take your Bible to Matthew 6 real quickly. In Matthew 6, it talks about take no thought of some things. You look at verse 25. And he said, therefore I say unto you. Now he's talking about that you can't serve two masters, for either you'll hate one, love the other, or else you'll hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, you ought to unline that. You can't straddle the fence. You can't say, well, I'm going to be, get out in the world and I'm going to do that, but yet I'm going to also maintain, I'm going to live for the Lord too. You can't do it. You got to get on the own side. Joshua just said to choose you this day. Who are you going to side you're going to get on? You're going to get on God's side? Then get over here and get on God's side. If you're going to get on the world's side, get over there, get on that, go all the way. I mean, don't look back. You can't serve God and mammon both. You got to do one of them at least, do good in one of them. Look at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, what? Take no what? Thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body than remnant? Look down at verse 28. And why take you thought for remnant? Oh, boy, I tell you, consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Be careful about the fashions that, you're taking thought for. Your remnants, that's your clothes. You want to be careful that, that you don't have to have the best of everything. Look down at verse 30. He said, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Hamburger? A steak? Or what shall we drink? Tight Coke? Or water, or whithersoever shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Now here, verse 33, you ought to underline that, memorize it, put it into your heart. But seek you first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We get so worried about tomorrow. I tell people, how you doing? This is the greatest day of my life. By the way, it ought to be the greatest day of your life. Why? Well, you say, I can think of days that I've had a lot better time, preacher, and had a lot easier stuff. Well, hey, they've gone. Yesterday is gone. You can't go back yesterday. Get an hour of that. Tomorrow hasn't got here yet. Today is the day you're living in. Today is the day that you ought to live as if it's your last day. Today ought to be the best day of your life. Hey, I'm heaven bound. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about what happens tomorrow. It hadn't got here yet. I got to be concerned today. Am I going to get clothes today? I have to be dressed today. You all looking pretty good. Boy, I tell you, little James behind you there, Mike. He's dressing up, isn't he? He's looking good. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to eat today. I got to worry about today what I'm going to eat, and I don't have to worry too much about that. Somebody's already done promised to feed me. See, why do we take no thought of some things into that? And we get to worrying. They call, oh, look at that worry wart there. Look at that. I'm worried about this and worried about that and that. But hey, let me say to you, sometimes you're going to worry. Sometimes that you find that it's going to be that you just it happens. Depression. You get into now. I'm no medical psychologist or that. But do Christians get depressed? Well, sure they do. That, and sometimes we say, boy, when we look in the Bible, we see numerous cases where godly people struggle with feeling down. One clear case in the Old Testament is Elijah. I just read, boy, Elijah, you talk about a guy, anybody that should not be depressed and get in depression. Sometimes you say, well, why is old James depressed? He ought not to be. Look at him. He's got a lovely wife. He's got a good job. He's got making money, pocketfuls of it. He ought not to be. But, oh, he is down as low as a snake belly in a wagon rut, his brother, as he used to say. On that. But why do we get depressed? Why do we get down into that? And you find Elijah, he just killed 450 prophets. He just seen the miracle of God. He seen God do a great and wonderful work. And though Ahab the king, he has a wife called Jezebel. That's why we don't name your baby Jezebel. She said, boy, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He killed my prophets. I'm going to kill that rascal. And boy, the word got back to Elijah. You're going to die, boy. Jezebel's on your trail. And what does he do? He takes off. Then he gets to running him and his servants. He gets down to the city. He leaves his servants there. He keeps it going. That was nice of him to do that. He gets up to he gets out in the forest, out in the wilderness, out to the brook, and sits down and says, oh, I just might as well die. You've been there. Have you ever been where Elijah is sitting there? I just call it a day. I'm just ready to throw in the chips. That and God had to take care of him. Now you find into that the psalmist and you get down to Elijah he said, boy, he said, I just don't want to live any longer. David, the one whom the Bible said was a man after God's own heart. He faced emotional despair on numerous occasions. Did David get down and out when he came back in from a battle? And boy, Ziklag, where his family he had left, and all of the other soldiers had left their family, and he came in, and what happened? All the camps had been overrun, the children, the wives had been taken, they had lost everything they had, and boy, and now the his soldiers, his men, trusted men, his faithful one, they begin to blame David for that. You get blamed for anything that you didn't really need to be blamed for. You take most of the things that we call gossip get started. People blaming something on somebody that's got no blame to be. You got to be careful how you blame something. It's your fault that we are like we are. It's your fault that we've got this, or it's your fault that it's your fault we did our singing as poor as it was. Oh, no, I thought it was good, but it's your fault that Miss Cassidy, you didn't hit that right note. But I didn't hear you miss one. Well, what I'm saying, we find some things that, and it was, and David, what did he do? He encouraged himself in his wife. No. In the Lord. And so, could I say to you this morning that you're going to find that Christians do get depressed in that, and when we look in the Bible, in that, and we look at oftentimes there are a few more examples where people in the Bible felt very down, very discouraged, very depressed. I don't know what you may be going through today. I feel that God wanted me to speak on this today. I don't know why that, because I had a better message planned on that. And but as we look at church history, it's interesting to note that great Christian leaders suffered not just from feeling down sometimes, but they had bouts with severe depression. You take most of the authors of your songs went through bouts of depression. You take up Martin Luther, the head of the Lutheran denomination, and John Calvin over the Presbyterians, two great leaders of the Reformation. They both had plenty of dark days. A.W. Tozer, if you ever read any of A.W. Tozer's books, he has some more spiritual insight. J.B. Phillips, author of theologian, but as well as the Salvation Army founder William Booth, they each struggled with depression. One of the great guys that we know today is that as a Baptist, that is a hero in Baptist in preaching, is Charles Spurgeon. You find he was a Baptist pastor in London for many years and was recognized as the greatest preacher of the 19th century. He was a man of great faith. He accomplished more for the Lord in his ministry than almost any 100 pastors combined. I've got several volumes of his sermons. I can't preach them, but he's too over my head in preaching. But man, a great preacher. That he would go for 2 to 3 to a month, that he could get up to the pulpit because he experienced a very serious depression into that. And so you find that oftentimes Christians struggle with depression. For most of us, it's just maybe occasional days where we feel down. But some folks have bouts of very deep depression. This can certainly be a chronic problem, but not always. Some people who struggle with more severe depression overcome it and never have to deal with it again. I don't get depressed. I refuse to get depressed. I've gone through a lot of times that I would like to get depressed. I've been at times that I would like to just crawl into a hole and cover over and say, that's it. Lord, just go ahead. I'll be like Elijah. Just go ahead and take me out. But today I don't get depressed. In fact, I don't worry. Some people say, preacher, do you worry? No, I used to, but I don't anymore. Why don't you worry? Because what I can change, I do. What I can take care of, I do. But what I can't, I let God take care of it. And so if you learn to do that, you do what you can do and let God take care of the rest. On that, health-wise, you take into that, I try to be healthy. I eat all the hamburgers I can. I drink all the coffee I can. I try to be healthy. The Lord has to take care of some things as well, see. Onto that. But just because, into that, the bottom is that a Christian, young or old, male and female, who are, and by the way, because you are Baptist doesn't eliminate you from being depressed. He said, well, I'm a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist. I don't get depressed. Well, you will. You'll go through some times in your period of your life, you young people, listen. There are going to be some times that you're going to go through some things, some issues in your life that you're going to have to fight through depression. You're going to get depressed. You're going to get down. You want to give up. You don't want to continue. You're going to get times where you don't want to go to church. You're going to come, there are going to be times in your life that you come in here and you can't wait to get out. There's nothing, the Spirit of God is not speaking to you. Your prayers are not getting past the ceiling. Your heart is distraught. You don't care. You've just about given up. And into that, you become a victim for the devil and a victim for the world. Young people, in fact, I just read here, this past week, one of the doctors on the news were talking about the young people, depression. We got to get our kids back into school because so many of them are having depression. So many of the suicide rate is so great now since school has been out and since this epidemic of the virus is going on. And they said, we got to get kids back in school. Why? Well, because kids get they got feelings. Oh, you look at some of you young people, you think, well, they don't care what if the sun comes up tomorrow or not. Oh, yeah, they do. They're dealing with issues as well. They've got to deal with the classroom, virtual teaching and learning in classroom. I'd be as dumb as a rock if that's what I had to be taught. I couldn't even turn the computer on, let alone get on there. Zoom, what's Zoom? We got to Zoom this thing. Well, yeah, that's out of our category. We don't Zoom. If it ain't a book I can look at and somebody tell me what to instruct me in it, I'm lost. Don't get me on that computer. But what I'm saying is kids have to deal with this. And sometimes we look at these young people. You take these little girls up here today, they're involved in running. I could get really depressed if I was out there running. Seeing how these other girls could run and how big they were on that, I would just say I quit. I ain't doing this. But boy, Aaliyah and Kenzie, did they let that bother them? No, sir. No, sir. They just sucked it up, went right on that. But what I'm saying, these kids, and we look at them sometimes and we think they don't have a problem. But they do have problems. They do have problems. You've got to be careful. You come in here, most of the adults, you look at some adults, you think, man, nothing, everything looks good on the outside, don't it? But boy, I tell you, on the inside, everybody in here pretty much is fighting something. Everybody in here, maybe so, oftentimes, preacher, I'm so concerned, I'm worried about my job. preacher, what's going to happen if I lose my job? And who's going to, I can't take care of my family. I can't take care of my bills. And those bills, they just keep coming and coming and coming. If I lose my job, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you haven't lost it yet. But it is a problem. How are you going to handle it? And I said, well, just, you know, don't worry about it until you have to. We worry so much about things before they ever happen that we, they come and go. We don't have to worry about it. We'd have been void of a lot of worry. Now, get into my message here in a minute. On that, is it a sin to be depressed? A lot of people say, well, it's, you know, if you're depressed, you know, you're not right with God. You can be right with God and still be depressed. Sometimes depression is not a sin. I don't think Elijah was out in a great sin when he flew from Jezebel. And now there could be a time that our faith in God is not what maybe it ought to be on that. But you find that David or Paul was, were they necessarily sinning when they were feeling so very down? I just don't, there's that. I think that if you stay faithful to God, I think that you can prevent a lot of depression. I think you can prevent from going into deep depression. I think that you can stop some worrying. I think you can overcome everything that God wants you to have. Look at what Paul said into that here in verse 4. He said, and the peace of God which passeth understanding. He said, in that, be careful for nothing. Don't worry for nothing on some things. We have instruction from the Word of God, and it's hard to put into practice in our daily life. Don't worry about some things. And when I'm facing these mountains into that, don't worry about them. It's hard not to. And he said in here, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart. I'm saying this, that you can find that there is some answers to some things, that some help that the Word of God gives us, that we can live the abundant life. I thank God for being, if I hadn't been a Christian, I'd been dead a long time ago. If I had not been a child of God, and if I had not been in fellowship with the Lord, I would have been out of here a long time ago. On that, but boy, I thank God that I'm alive. I thank God that God has given them into the opportunity to serve Him and to live for Him, to work for Him. And so I'll give you real quickly five things to not to worry about here. That one is problems. Turn them over to God. He said His grace is sufficient. He said, take no thought of some things. You're going to have problems with food. You're going to have problems with remnant. You're going to have problems with health. But how you're going to handle those problems is going to determine whether that you are going to worry about them, or you're just going to turn them over to the Lord. There's an illustration of the ark exhibit years ago that came for pictures portraying peace in painting. And the one that won the reward was a picture of this bird sitting out on a thin limb hanging out over the waterfalls. And that bird, a little robin bird, sitting back and with his head back a singing. And yet underneath is the great turbulence of waterfall, a little thin limb that they're sitting on. But just peace to be able to sing into that. You find that oftentimes as we face with things, worrying. Could I say it to that daily needs are taken care of in Matthew there that we went over. And to that need for your life, take no thought for the remnant and stuff. But you find that also real quickly having a successful life. Do you know that the only time that success is mentioned in the Bible is over in Joshua 1? I'll read it to you. It says this, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now listen, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good successes. Only time success is mentioned in the Bible. into that that book of the law. Keep the word of God. You want to be successful? Stay with the book. Learn the word of God. Hide it in your heart. Memorize it. Have a successful life. You find that a world success differs from Christian. We find that we look out into the world. We say, oh boy, some of these guys have been success, but boy, they've been a failure when they stand before the Lord. Have a successful life. Dedicate and surrender your life to God. Somebody we talked yesterday about leaving behind things leaving behind treasures and leaving behind things. One of the things you'll not find is you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer with all the belongings in it. Naked you came into the world, naked you going out. Now what you leave behind you is going to determine how successful are you. I'd rather be able to leave a person behind that has trusted Christ as their Savior, that have had the privilege of being able to see these come to know the Lord, as to leave $1 million behind to somebody to fight over. But yet we're finding that we're struggling. We want to leave behind this and our dowry and an inheritance and all of this, and we're neglecting the little things and neglecting the things that's important to God. I want to see how many Bibles can be printed. I want to see how many tracts can be get out. I want to see how much that we can get in our faith promise to give to the Lord. I want to see how much that the church can do. And God doesn't think honor stinginess. God wants you to give, it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Given to God what is His. And so I say to you, a successful life unto that, and hopefully that you find. And so don't worry about the wicked. Psalm 37 says, fret not about those who are got the big houses on the hill and got the cattle in the stuff, but they're not serving God. We look at them and we say, boy, they must be prophets, Lord. Hey, listen, God reigns upon the just and the unjust alike. By the way, most people that's got money and got riches, they follow a biblical principle, hard work. A lot of times you find that God honors hard work regardless of who's doing it. And then real quickly here about don't worry about going to hell. Did you ever worry about going to hell? Well, I did. There was a time before I got saved that I got to worry about where would I spend eternity at if there is a hell? At 25 years old, nobody ever told me, gave me the plan of salvation. But we heard a whole lot about hell coming up through there. We used to, sit in the old general store up at home and guys talk about hell. So-and-so's going to hell. You were told to go there. They talked about hell a whole lot more than they talked about heaven. But we get it today, and the people were, and I mean people go to church, people that have made profession of faith, and say, Bridget, I don't want to go to hell. Well, why are you worried about it? If you have put your faith and trust in God, God said, I've delivered you, you're out from under condemnation, you don't have to worry about that. Oh, unto that, to be able to pillow your head at night and to know that you done cheated the devil out of being a neighbor to him. The hell there is never filled. That's a bottomless pit. They just keep going into that. And there's no bottom to it. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to where that there's nothing but screaming and torment and that. But yet, most of the world is headed there. Most of the world is sliding out into this bottomless pit to where that there is fire and brimstone, to where that there is smoke, where that there is agony, where there is screaming and carrying on, and people still remembering. Do you want to go there? Boy, I think God's wrath has to you and I has been removed. John 5:24 said, we have passed from death to life. John 10 said that we are in God's hand. Who's going to pluck us out? He said, well, you can pluck your own self out. No, you can't. You're in God's hands. You ain't going to pluck yourself out of God's hands. God's hands too big for you. Onto that. So don't worry salvation. Well, do I know? Well, the Bible says in John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that you may know you have eternal life. You get to worry, well, am I going to heaven? Am I going to hell? Get to reading in your Bible. You never find a student of the Bible that's concerned about hell, because they've been saved, they've been born again, they've been redeemed. They know that the Spirit of God lives within them. They know that God deals with them. They know that God convicts them of sin when they get out of line. They know that into that, that they built their child of His, and that there is going to be conviction on your heart when you get away from God. God teaches us that we're to live a holy life, a righteous life, and when sin comes in, it breaks fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within you. You cannot have fellowship with Him. God's not going to show you nothing from the Word of God. Get to your sins confessed. Get them out of your life. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm stretching forth to the things that are before, to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Quit lingering back into the past and get out of the past. Get into the today and to work and to labor for God and put God first in your life. You do that and you find that you'll prosper in that. Our lives are filled with deadlines and demands and the daily schedules, the periodic feelings of failure, till we have a tendency to want to get a white flag and wave it and shout, I give up, I surrender, growing weary. Is a consequence of many experiences. Weary of waiting. Weary of studying and learning. Weary of fighting the enemy. Weary of criticism and persecution. Growing weary, worrying. It results in losing heart. Are you weary this morning? Are you heavy laden? Are you distressed? Come to the Savior. Come quickly, come boldly, be surrendered and given unto Him. Are you going to worry? God said that you probably will, but I don't want you to. Cast all your cares upon Me, Peter said, because I care for you. Well, preacher, I just care about my relationship with my husband. I care about my relationship with my wife and my children. We just don't have a good relationship anymore. Well, don't worry about it. Take it to the Lord. Lord, what can I do? What can I do? And you'll find a verse that'll tell you what to do. You say, well, I can't make him change or her change. No, you can't. You can't. But boy, you can get peace within your own heart. If I got peace, I can help care about what goes on with somebody else. If I've got peace, I want to try to do what God wants me to do. I want to be in the center of His will. I want to walk with the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And you can. You can enjoy being a Christian. You can enjoy the life that God has given you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be depressed. You find yourself going into that. Get out of it. Get out of it. How do I do it? Get to church. Well, I say, why do I go to church all the time? I don't want to get depressed. Why do I don't want to miss church? Because I don't want to get worried about anything. That's why the other day, last week or so, the first time in 20 years, I missed a Wednesday night service. My record is broken. My heart. But we had good services, didn't we, Sharon? I preached the daylights out of her on that. we had that. But I miss being in church. I want to be in church. Whether it's here or somewhere else, I want to be in church. And I want to be able to hear the Word of God. I enjoy still hearing the Word of God preached. I can't wait for Mike to hear him preach. He ought to be here to hear it. I can't wait to be able to get to teach a Sunday school class, to see the kids, and to be around God's people. I love God's people. I don't fit in with the world. I'll be quite honest. I don't fit in with those that are spending their time at the beer joints. I don't those that are cursing and carrying on. Those are not going to church. I don't have nothing in common with them. I care for them, but I don't have no fellow. I don't have no social life. My socializing, it comes from the church. I like coming to church. Now, if you're here today and you're not saved, you got a lot of worrying on you. If you're here not saved, you got to worry about hell. If you're here today and you're not saved, then you got to have to worry about salvation. Have I been saved? Do I know what it means to be saved? Do I know that I'm a sinner? Do I know that God loved me enough that He would die for me? Do I know that His blood cleanses me of my sins? Have I put my faith and trust in His death, His burial, and His resurrection? Do I know that I have been born again? You say, preacher, I don't know if I know that or not. Boy, you ought to. We invite you. We give you an invitation to come. And we have guys here, take a Bible, show you how to be saved. Show you what God requires of us. Is that you today? Whatever it is, let's stand, please.